grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. We meditate today in our sermon on our gospel reading from Mark chapter 6. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, bless us this day as we meditate on your word. Send us your Holy Spirit to strengthen our faith in you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Corruption, conspiracy, jealousy, manipulation, seduction, adultery, power struggles, power games, murder. No, I'm not describing this week's General Pastors Conference. All right? This is all in our text today. This is all in our gospel reading. When I first came to this gospel reading, I thought, how on earth am I meant to preach on this? And then later in the week, I thought, how on earth am I meant to do a children's address on this? This is a heavy text for us today, the gruesome tale of the death of John the Baptist. One commentator writes, Hollywood loves this passage for all the wrong reasons. For all the wrong reasons. This is a tragic tale, and not just the tragic death of John, but the tragic life of King Herod and his family and their time in power. This is a dynasty riddled with problems. Riddled with problems, with fear, with guilt, with bad motivations, bad decisions, bad outcomes. This is a troubled, troubled tale. Today I'd like to pick up on the theme of fear that's there throughout our reading, and it's not the only theme, but it's one of the themes, one of the threads that runs through today's text is that of fear. And so I want to look at three aspects of fear in the Bible with you today. I want to look at healthy fear, unhealthy fear, and how healthy fear can help us overcome unhealthy fear. So healthy fear, unhealthy fear, and how one can overcome the other. The word for fear in the Bible is the word phobeo. It's where we get our word phobia from, phobeo. And it's used in two different ways in the Bible. One way is the way we might think of to be afraid, to be scared of something, to be frightened by something. That's one way it's used, and that's the way we would commonly use it. But there's another way fear is used in the Bible, which is perhaps a little more foreign to how we think and how we talk. But you might be familiar with it from your small catechisms, which I know you read all the time, right? And the small catechism, the explanation to the commandments begins, we are to fear and love God. We are to fear and love God. And this sense of fear is slightly different. It's standing in awe of God. It's having a deep respect for God, a real reverence for the authority of God in our lives. So these two types of fear. Now, this healthy fear more picks up that latter one, the awe, the respect we're called to have for God. And John the Baptist is a great example of this fear, this healthy fear of God. And not only is he an example of it in and of himself, but his whole ministry is one of calling people back to God, back to this respect, this reverence, this holy and healthy fear of the Lord. The book of Proverbs says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom, of all wisdom. This is the kind of fear that John wants to instill in people. It's a good fear. It's a holy fear. It's a healthy fear. Now, in the case of Herod, John's ministry and his message takes on a very specific moral tone, right? Because Herod has taken his brother Philip's wife, Herodias, and so John goes to him and tells him that this isn't right. It's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. It's simply against the will of God, right? It's against the moral law of God. It's not what God wants for you, Herod. You can see that John's healthy fear of God makes him fearless in front of Herod. You can see how John's deep respect for God and God's will makes him deeply courageous to speak up before the leaders about what he believes to be right and wrong. John sees himself as answerable to a higher power, right? A higher power than Herod. And so he's able to stand up, to speak up in a situation where most of us would probably be very scared to. John, regardless of how unpopular it will make him, regardless of what kind of danger it would put him in, he has this healthy fear of the Lord that gives him great courage, great bravery in this situation. This healthy fear, it's something we're all called to cultivate as we learn to stand in awe of God, to respect and revere him, his word, his will, his law, including his moral law, his authority, his power, his might, all of these attributes of God that make him our God, that make him who he is, that make him a higher power than Herod, and for that matter, a higher power than all the kings and queens of history, all the presidents and prime ministers of our day and age, the highest of authorities, even higher than ourselves, who we probably often give the highest authority to in our lives. We are to fear and love God above all things. John does. That doesn't necessarily mean everything goes really well for John. Notice, he's got his heart in the right place. He's got his fear in the right place. He's got his faith in the right place. And what happens to him? So Herod has him arrested. Herod has him imprisoned. It's a kind of protective custody, right? He's trying to protect John from Herodias, and so he sticks him in prison and thinks that might help, and it does for a time. John is a huge threat to Herodias, right? Far more than he is to Herod. He's a big threat to Herodias, to her ambition, to her quest for power, right? John is getting in the way, and so Herodias thinks, we get rid of John, we solve the problem. One commentator puts it like this: Herodias feels that the only place her marriage certificate can safely be written is on the back of the death warrant of John. Now, I'm pretty sure they don't allow that down at births, deaths, and marriages, last time I checked, but you get the idea, right? She thinks, get rid of John, the marriage is okay, it's fine, and she's in power, right? She's got her position of power that she's aiming for. Whereas John has a healthy fear of God, a deep reverence and respect for God, Herod and Herodias are gripped by many other kinds of fear. They're scared people, right? They're frightened people. They're anxious people. Now, they're very powerful people, to be sure, but the power doesn't seem to get rid of the anxiety and the edginess and the unease that they experience in their life. What does Herod fear, really? What does Herod fear? I think Herod fears a lot of things. He fears losing his power, for one, and Herodias too. He fears losing his reputation. He fears losing face, right? So he's got all the powerful people of the land, they're all gathered there at his big birthday banquet, and he makes this oath that he doesn't want to keep, but he fears what they'll think if he doesn't keep it. Herod fears his wife. Maybe he's not the first man in history to fear his wife, right? But Herod fears what his wife's going to do to John, if given the chance. Herod fears his daughter, right? Or daughter-in-law, or daughter, you know, Herodias. He fears her. Fears her disapproval. Fears letting her down. Herod's just filled with fears, right? He is a scared and troubled individual at this point in his life. At the beginning of our text, it says that Herod had heard the rumors of Jesus. Jesus' name was becoming well known. And that's the point at which Herod's fear bubbles over, right? Just comes to the surface and he's just overwhelmed by it. And he thinks, this is John, right, whom I beheaded. He's back from the dead. And you can just hear Herod's guilt and his anxiety and his conscience just coming to the surface and how troubled he is by what he's done and by the fact that the reputation of Jesus is bringing that to the fore for him. What do we fear? What do you fear, I wonder? One of the table discussions we had at Pastor's Conference this past week asked us to share some of our hopes and fears with each other for the mostly for the future of the church, future of the LCA, but the future of the church as a whole. And it was a good exercise. I learnt a few things about myself I was quite happy not knowing. But that happens when you're sharing, and you're sharing honestly about your fears, what concerns you, what makes you anxious or uneasy. It's a helpful exercise. Spiritually, it's a very important exercise for us to know what we fear and why. So how about you? What do you fear? What makes you anxious? What makes you uneasy? Maybe it is the future of the church or the state of the church or the way the church is colliding with our culture. Maybe some of those things make you uneasy, make you fearful. Maybe it's something in your family, an individual in your family, or a situation in your family, or a conflict in your family that makes you fearful. Maybe it's like Herod. It's what others think of you. It's your reputation. It's how they see you. It's how they'll treat you, or it's how they look at you. Maybe those sorts of things make you fearful. Maybe it's failure. Maybe you fear failure. Maybe it's exposure, right? People finding out what you're really like or something like that that makes you fearful. Maybe it's growing old. Maybe it's death or dying or someone close to you dying. What do you fear? You know, our lives might not read like some Shakespearean tragedy or some great Hollywood drama like today's text kind of does, but that doesn't mean they're free of fear and unhealthy fear and unhealthy levels of fear. I think we all struggle with this. I think we all grapple with these things in our lives in different ways. But the question is this the kind of fear God wants for us? Is this how God wants us to live our lives, constantly fearful and uneasy and anxious about things? Or is this stuff that we've created for ourselves? Verse 20 in our text is very interesting, or I find it very interesting. It says, Herod feared John. Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. When Herod heard John speak, he was greatly puzzled, yet he liked to listen to him. Herod feared John. What did Herod have to fear of John? Right? He just arrests him and puts him in prison and later executes him. And yet it says Herod feared John. He feared what John was saying. Right? He feared what John was pointing to and pointing out about him. He feared that John could speak in a way that just put his finger on the sore spot in Herod's life. And so he liked to listen to him, it says. He didn't understand half of what he said, but he liked to listen to him. He was fascinated by him. He couldn't listen, but he couldn't not listen, right? He was intrigued by John and John's ministry and the words John spoke to him. What John was doing was putting his finger on the real problem in Herod's life. That's what he was doing. He was touching his conscience. He was saying, here's the real problem, Herod. Here's the real sin. Here's the deep fear that we need to deal with, right? If we're going to have any hope, this is it. And that's why Herod, he couldn't hear it, but he couldn't not hear it as well. It drew him in. John was saying to him, Herod, this is why you're not at peace, right? This is why you're so troubled. You need to deal with this underlying issue first before you'll be able to move on. Now, Herod thought, or at least he was convinced to think, that if he got rid of John, he'd get rid of the problem, right? Take away the guy who won't shut up and will deal with the issue, but it doesn't. It doesn't deal with it. In fact, in some ways, it just makes things worse for Herod. It just makes him more troubled, more scared, more fearful. Why is that? John came as the starting point of the answer to our fears. John came as a herald to direct us to the one who can help us deal with our fears. John came and, you know, one of the most famous things John ever said was when he first saw Jesus and he said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Look, Herod, the Lamb of God who takes away the shame of the world. Look, Herod, the Lamb of God who takes away the fear of the world. Look, Herod, the Lamb of God who can help you in your troubled conscience and wash you clean and wipe you clear and let you start again. Look, Herod, here he is, the answer to your deepest fears and your greatest troubles. It says at the beginning of our text that Herod heard about these things, for Jesus' name had become known. Jesus' name had become known. Our text begins in the name of Jesus, and John's whole ministry takes place in the name of Jesus. And the answer to our fears is the name of Jesus. This is what can help us. This is what can answer our deepest problems, can overcome that unhealthy fear. It says in the book of James, perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. And it's only by the name of Jesus that we receive that love and learn of that love and can access that love and can begin to live by that love. Perfect love casts out fear. John pointed to humanity's greatest problem and our greatest problem too, but then he further pointed us to our greatest hope, to the one who can help us with the greatest problem, to the one who is the answer to our fears. We are to fear and love God above all things, but only because he first loved us above all things. Only because he first showed us his perfect love in the person of Christ. Only because he first gave us a mechanism and an avenue for dealing with sin and guilt and shame and fear and all that stuff that Herod struggled with so much. You know, at the end of our text, there's another interesting little verse after the horrible case of John's beheading. There's this little verse. When his disciples heard about his death, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? They came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. Even in John's death, he's pointing us to Christ. Right? Even in John's death, he's giving us a foreshadowing, a forerunner to the person of Christ and what he would come and what he would be and how he would die and how he would be laid in a tomb as well, only to rise again 3 days later. The ministry of Christ, the mission of our Lord, is to fill us with the grace of God, to fill us with forgiveness, to fill us with hope, to free us from our fears, and to offer us the perfect love that casts out all fear, to offer us peace with God our Father, to lead us forward in this life in courage, in hope, in bravery, like John, who was able to do the unthinkable because his faith and his fear was in the right place. It's been said that when we fear God, we have nothing else to fear. Nothing else to fear. So help us, God. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your servant John, who came and trusted in you and called others back to you. We pray that we would hear his call today to return ourselves once again to you, to bring with us our sin or our shame or our fear or whatever it is we carry this day, and to come to you, to come to the foot of the cross, and to hear there your message of perfect love that casts out fear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.